Morning, everyone. Good to see you. As you see from the screen just now, our reading is from the second book of Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 7 to 18. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is seen is unseen is eternal. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen.
So Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, refers to us as jars of clay. Or, as I've entitled it, earthen vessels, because he wants to make the point that there is nothing special about us. A clay pot was used for cooking, and it wasn't anything special, so it didn't matter if it got broke because it could easily be replaced. Now, there might be some of you here this morning who are more finer pots than others. But Paul's point is that we are ordinary, but when Christ comes and takes residence in our hearts, he transforms the ordinary to the extraordinary. I think that deserves an amen, don't you? Thank you. Good. It reminds me of the Japanese art, if I can say this right, kintsugi. Does anybody know what I mean by kintsugi? No. Okay. We've got a picture up on the at the top. It's where the Japanese take a broken pot and where it has no value, no use left to anybody really, that you'd throw it away. But the art of kintsugi is where they take the broken pieces and they use gold to glue them back together. They transform the ordinary to the extraordinary, and this pot then becomes incredibly valued and valuable. It's like this something that was worthless that you would throw away, they redeem by painting it and filling the cracks with gold and gluing it back together, and what was valueless now becomes incredibly valuable. The same is true for us. As Paul says in verse 7, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You see, Paul wants to make the point that actually we are earthen vessels, so therefore we have no value. It is not us that are making the transformation and the change. It is the power of God that is working in us that is making the transformation and the change. We cannot do anything by ourselves. It is only when the power of God is within us can we see that transforming power be released and at work. You see, the world would want to lock up something that is valuable or make it secure. But God has chosen the weak and the fragile things to carry his Spirit. We are carriers of God's Spirit. As it says in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, he says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." In other words, whatever we think we know, God knows far more than we can. You see, God's plan is being worked out through you and me. It is not by accident that God has chosen you, but by design according to his purpose, to work out his purpose in us in the world. Each of us is designed to be the carriers of this treasure that Paul talks about in the beginning of this of verse 7. That treasure that God wants to reveal to the world. Paul tells us what that treasure is. So if you've got your Bibles, let's look at verse 6, the verse before where we started this morning. Let me read it to you and then I'll paraphrase it back. "For God who said, 'Let the light shine out of the darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." God has made his light to shine in our hearts in order that we might be carriers that display the glory of God, that same glory that is displayed in the face of Christ. We are called to be the carriers of God's glory. Basically, that's what it means. We are called to be carriers of God's glory. I was reminded of the Christmas story, perhaps appropriately as we draw very close to that, from Luke 2 in verse 9, where the shepherds were called and they had a visitation by the angel of the Lord, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. We are carriers of that same glory. I just want you to imagine what that would be like. We are carriers of the glory of God. Isn't that a precious thing? Isn't that a transforming thing? We are carriers of the glory of God. Whoa. That makes me feel quite humble, really, that God would choose you and me to be carriers of his glory. That the glory of God would rest inside. And in this earthen vessel, this vessel that will die, God has placed something that is so precious and so valuable that he wants to give it to the world. He wants the world to see the glory of God. Just as the shepherds saw the glory of God on that hillside that Christmas morning. You see, it is not the messenger that's important. So it's not us that's important. What's important is the message. Let me say that again. It's not the messenger that's important, but the message. The message of the glory of God is what's important. I was reminded of the story of Gideon in Judges 7, where Gideon gathered 32,000 of the Israelite men to go and defeat the Midianites. But Gideon was told by God that he got too many men. So he sent 22,000 of them home. So that left 10,000 men. Because God didn't want Israelite to end up boasting to say, oh, we defeated the Midianites because we were powerful in number. No, God wanted to reduce the number so that they would say, it is God that's worked through us, not us working through God. Did you see? But God wasn't satisfied with only 10,000 men. He said, no, Gideon, you've still got too many men. I want you to send the rest home, but leave only 300. 300 men to defeat the camp of the Midianites. So the story goes on, and Gideon instructs his men to encircle the Midianite camp and to take a light and to hide it under a bowl, under a jar. And then he said, when I give the nod, I want you to make a loud noise with trumpets. I want you to smash the bowl and hold the light up. So the instruction was given. The trumpets were sounded. The bowls were smashed. The lights came up around the mountainside, encircling the camp. The Midianites went into panic mode. They were so panicked that they started to run onto each other's swords and they fled. And so the Israelite army, with 300 men, defeated the whole Midianite camp that day. We are the true carriers of God's light. We are the people that God has chosen that people might either be drawn to us or flee from us. Our responsibility is to let people see God through us. So verses 8 and 12, in these verses, Paul reflects upon his suffering for the gospel, particularly in verses 8 and 9. So let's just look at those together, shall we? Verses 8 and 9. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Paul reminds us that though we may reach the end of our rope, as it were, we're never at the end of our hope. I'll just repeat that. We might feel that we've reached the end of our rope, but we never reach the end of God's hope. I'm reminded of these words that Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 20. A bruised reed I will not break, a smoldering wick I will not snuff out. Even if we feel we can't cope in a particular set of circumstances or situations, we know that God is with us because that's his promise. He is the reason for our hope. He is the reason that enables us to rise up above the situations that we find really challenging. The scriptures, as Jesus said to Peter, you are the rock on which I will build my church. Christ is our cornerstone. He is the one on which we stand. So in the midst of whatever storm of life might be raging around us, whatever level of persecution might come, whatever level of fatigue that might hit our body, we know that we can experience God's peace through all of that. Because he never leaves us. He never wanders off. He is the one in which we can know that joy and peace, despite what the world might think. And then in verses 10 and 12, Paul makes reference to death and to life. And that we carry that around in our bodies. Paul here is referring to the battle that goes on inside of us. The battle is about the sin in our lives and that through the power of the cross, we have the ability to see the victory over that battle. So within us, there's this stuff wanting, this self rising up all the time within us that wants to make decisions that probably aren't always accordance to God's will. And the Bible would describe that as sin. And as we know, the wages of sin are death. And so we're carrying around that sense of death, but also the sense when Jesus died, he died to self so that when he rose again, life might come. And that life is within us. So that we carry that sense of that battle that's going on that would lead to death, but also knowing that actually when what Jesus accomplished at the cross leads to life. So with this tension going on in our lives all the time. And in that tension, God is saying, if you trust me, you will know the victory that comes through the shedding of my blood. You will know the victory that was achieved at the cross. Because I have won the battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. It is he who is at work in us. It is his spirit that is bringing the transformation and the change in our lives day by day by day. And then verse 16, Paul goes on and gives this instruction. Therefore, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. In other words, don't give up on keep on going. Don't give up. You know, reminded of an athlete, you know, a long distance runner. That you get halfway round the race and you feel the fatigue starts to set in. Your legs become heavy. I'm not a long distance runner, by the way. Just relating experiences that I've read about. But the fatigue sets in. Has anybody run the London Marathon? Has anybody run half a marathon? John has. You know, when you get about halfway round, you start to feel the fatigue, don't you, John? Yeah. Even in the midst of you might have trained hard, the fatigue sets in. And it would be the easiest thing in the world to say, well, I've had enough now. I'm going to go home. I'm going to stop or I'm going to walk the rest. Thank you very much. But actually, as an athlete, you're committed to pushing through. You're committed to winning the race. You're committed to crossing the finish line to know that actually what I set out to do, I can achieve. And the same is true with our walk with Jesus. Paul says here, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep going. Don't lose heart. Because there is stuff that's going to come at you that will want to see you give up. They want you to see you, to throw in the towel and say, that's it, I've quit. I've done my lot, thank you very much. But Jesus says, look, Paul's saying, keep on going. And then he goes on to say, though outwardly we are wasting away, and yet inwardly we are being renewed. I was reminded of Elaine when I heard those words. You know, we know that Elaine is struggling physically, but we also know that there are moments when her spirit just soars because of the glory of God is being revealed through her. We know our bodies will not last forever, don't we? These bodies were not designed to go on and on and on and on, like a Duracell advert would tell you. But that sense that, you know, they were designed for a time. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows when our time was to be born, and he knows when our time is to die. And he knows that when we've committed our life to him, glory awaits. Eternal life beckons. This is just but a staging post for what lies ahead for us. So our bodies will not last forever, just like the clay pots. They do break. But our spirits are being constantly renewed. So at last, when we are called home, we are called with a heavenly body to celebrate eternity with God. You see, our problem is that we can slip into a mindset that says, I am a defeated foe. I'm worthless. I can't do it. We start to feel sorry for ourselves. Oh, woe is me. But hear this, church, this morning. Hear this. Christ is at work in each of us. Christ has won the victory. Amen? Amen. Christ has won the victory. He has promised that he would never leave us nor abandon us. So when we feel, or when we start to feel overwhelmed by a set of circumstances or a set of scenarios that are unfolding before us, we can take hold of the promise of God that says God is for us and not against us. He is our strength. He is our fortress. He has won the battle for us today and every day in the future. We are not a defeated foe. We worship a God who has the victory, who has won the battle. We need to lift our eyes from what is in front of us and start to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who gives us the hope, who is the hope of glory, whose glory we are called to display to a world who are struggling. You see, the world don't get it, do they? They see, oh, woe is me, da 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 da. You know, if you can paint a black picture, they'll paint it. But with the promise of God's hope living within us, what color, what multicolor picture do we paint? Because it can't be black. Because the hope of glory is something that is beautiful. Something that the world is craving for, and yet they can't see it. Because their eyes have been blinded. Verse 18, let's read this together. Let me just grab a bit of water. Verse 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul is encouraging us here. Don't give up, but fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the one. He's the one we might not be able to see, but the promise is eternal, that through him, eternity beckons. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, Paul repeats these words of Jesus. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness." My power is made perfect in weakness. So let's go back to that image of a clay pot. It's only a pot. It will break. It will damage. But in the old days, you'd throw it away and get a new one. Or if you're doing kintsugi, you'd put gold around it and it becomes valuable. God has placed his treasure within us, so we are valuable to God. We are his carriers of his treasure. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God is our power source. He is the one who can and is renewing us. Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God who is at work in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God is at work. And then I was reminded of the promise that we find in Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. The power of God is at work. It is. The power of God is at work. Hello. It is at work. It is. God has released his spirit over us. But do we quash that power? Do we suppress it? Or do we allow the power of God to be at work in our lives? Do we allow our lives to be that earthen vessel, treasure, cowering pot that says I'm revealing the glory of God wherever I go. We might feel like cracked pots. You would take that any way you like, all right? We might feel like cracked pots this morning, but it's His power, it's His treasure that's on display through us. Have you got that? It is His power, His treasure that is displayed through us. God has chosen that way to work. He has chosen to use you and me as the carriers of His presence. So what does that say when we stay mute about the power and the love of God? What does that say to a world who are crying out for something that they do not know what they're crying out for, and yet we are called to be the carriers of His presence and His power and His glory? You know, we have an amazing opportunity this Christmas. It's gone. What have I done with it? There it is. To share the love of God. To do something that points people to Jesus. Do you want to be a pointer of people to Jesus this Christmas? I hope so. Well, we've spared no expense and we've printed lots of these, and we can print lots more. This is our Christmas church Christmas card with all our services on and a little bit of a brief about what Christmas is about. Please use them. Use them as a tool. Use them as a starter of a conversation. Put them in your Christmas card before you send it to your next door neighbor if you don't want to give it to them personally. Use it. Because next Sunday, we should be filling this church with our carols by candlelight. In fact, I'm praying that we're having to put extra chairs out because we're full. But it'll only happen if we practice what I've been talking about. It'll only happen if we start to share the good news of Jesus by inviting people to come and hear it. So our challenge has to be, will you take these and use them? Will you put into practice what Paul says? Look, we might be only earthen vessels and we might have a small opinion of ourselves, but what's inside is the power of God that is at work in us to bring glory into the world. That power is life-giving. It's not death. It's life-giving. We've got a good news story to tell. So let's tell it. Let's not hide our light under a bushel, but let's reveal it to people. Let's be bold this Christmas. Are you feeling like being bold? I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced. I've come up with this phrase right at the end. Your pot, His power. I think that sums up what I've been saying this morning, so I'm going to close there. Your pot, His power is at work today, tomorrow, and every day. But we need to be in the place of saying, Lord, let your power work through me. Let your power work through me. There's loads outside. Please take some. And if we run out, Tricia will print some more. All right? Sorry? The more mended, the better. Yeah. Yeah. So if you want to be like a kintsugi pot, I've got said that wrong now, haven't I? But kintsugi, that's it, kintsugi, a valuable pot. You might be cracked, but with the treasure of God, you become incredibly valuable. You are that pot. We are those pots. We are valuable to God. We are made by the Creator. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we just want to thank you for the promises that we found this morning in your word. Lord, help us to be those crackpots. Lord, help us to be the people that are carriers of your presence and of your glory wherever we go. Lord, whether that's in the queue at one of the supermarkets, whether that's talking to our neighbors, whether that's when we're walking the dog, whether we meet somebody on the common, whether we're at the clubhouse, at the golf club, wherever it is, Lord, we pray that we would be the demonstrators of your glory. That moment when your glory filled that hillside as the angel came down to give the good news of Jesus' birth. Lord, may we also be the carriers of that good news. Father, help us not to have such a low opinion of ourselves, but help us to see ourselves as you see us. Father, we pray, Lord, right now, embolden us. Embolden us, Father, that we might be the carriers and the displayers of your power and glory this week. Because we can do immeasurably more when we put our trust in you. Help us to do that, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.